Dear colleagues, my name is Peter van der Kerkhof. I'm a senior professor of dermatology at the Radboud University Nijmegen Medical Center. And in that center, I have been for nearly 30 years chair of the Department of Dermatology. I am a dermatologist and treating patients with all skin diseases, and also I have been training residents to become a dermatologist. And we had a research program which was largely focused on psoriasis, doing work on the laboratory, doing work also in the clinic on development of new treatments, targeted treatments. And I'm very happy now for you to speak about tofacitinib, which is an innovative treatment possibility. It's a targeted treatment focused indeed on the pathogenesis of psoriasis. And well, I will do this by showing you three videos. So I first go now to the first video. Tofacitinib actually has a risk-benefit profile which is quite adequate for the treatment of psoriasis. And I will show you in the first video a pooled analysis across six clinical trials. And then I will move to the hematological parameters during 12 weeks of psoriasis treatment, as this Janus kinase inhibitor affects psoriasis, but also may have an impact on hematological parameters. And it is important to know more about that. And then in the third video, I will discuss the efficacy and safety of tofacitinib in the treatment of psoriasis, a phase 2b randomized placebo-controlled dose-ranging study. So the first video actually is the pooled analysis across six clinical trials. And it is derived from a study where I was a co-author, first author Bruce Strober, on the benefit-risk profile of tofacitinib in patients with moderate to severe chronic plaque psoriasis. Just as a brief introduction, psoriasis affects 1 to 3% of the global population as a chronic systemic inflammatory disease. With respect to the current treatments, there are some limitations. Firstly, the conventional systemic therapies, they have a limited efficacy in a proportion of the patients. Actually, the PASI 75 will be reached in about half of even less of the patients. And then biologics. Biologics are really an innovation in the treatment of psoriasis, but we have to realize that there are some biologics, and particularly the anti-TNFs, where there is decrease in clinical response over time. We know that the most recent biologics, the anti-IL-17s and the anti-IL-23s, are having high efficacy and adequate long-term control. But nevertheless, with biologics, we also remain to have a concern regarding the immunomodulation that these drugs are actually giving in our patients. So, for both types of treatments, there can be some concerns, but at the same time, we should say there is an enormous innovation that. With classical systemics, the long-term management is difficult for many of these treatments have a cumulative toxicity. And the long-term safety of biologics is really great, but we have to be aware that these drugs are immunomodulatory and therefore may have some safety concerns. The patient treatment satisfaction is poor with respect to the classical systemics, but much higher with the biologics. And tofacitinib is an innovation as an oral Janus kinase inhibitor and is providing an alternative path, an alternative possibility. And that is important. We should not have only one possibility in the treatment of psoriasis. We should have a series of possibilities, and that depending on the individual efficacy and safety experienced by the patient, we can switch to the treatment which is most suitable for the individual patients. And then tofacitinib is an innovation, and it is great to have this drug. The study objective was now to assess the benefit-risk profile of tofacitinib by pooling data from six clinical trials. So the data source: one phase II double-blind randomized controlled trial, four phase III double-blind randomized controlled trials, one open-label long-term extension study. And what were the endpoints? The PGA rating of clear or almost clear and PASI 75 at weeks 16 and 52. We had also secondary efficacy endpoints: PASI 90, DLQI smaller than 1, the ISI score smaller than 1, and then the HEDS depression score smaller than 8, and the NAPSI Dale score smaller than 75. Some safety endpoints: the incidence rate of serious infections, opportunistic infections, herpes zoster, major cardiovascular events, malignancies, and the laboratory parameters. Let's have a look now at the results. Here on the left, we see actually the efficacy data. Let's have a look at the figures first. That is, the figures on the horizontal axis, we see the weeks. The study is up to 52 weeks, as you see. And on the first, on number A, we see the proportion of patients which achieving a PGA of clear or almost clear. Then here on B, we see the PASI 75, the PASI 90% of patients reaching PASI 90. Here on this slide, we see the NAPSI 75, that's the Neil score, the percentage of patients reaching that endpoint. We see the DLQI smaller than 1 here on this slide. And here the itch score, the proportion of patients achieving an ICI of smaller than 1. And then when we look at the curves, we see that already after 4 till 8 weeks, there is already a beginning of an efficacy, of an improvement, and that maximum improvement is about 16 weeks. About 16 weeks. And we see also in this, in the graphs illustrated, the different dosages. That is the tofacitinib 10 milligram twice daily, the 5 milligram twice daily, and the placebo. And there are clear dose effect responses. And now I will point you to the results. We see significantly greater responses at week 16 with tofacitinib versus placebo. PGA clear, almost clear, 44% for the 5 milligram, 9 and 59% for the 10 milligram, at only 10% for placebo. The PASI 75, 43% for the 5 milligram, 59% for the 10 milligram, 8.9% for the placebo. And PASI 90, 22% in the 5 milligram, but 39% of the patients with the 10 milligram and 3% of the placebo. There's a clear difference from placebo, And we see that the ambitious score of PASI 90 is reached by 40%, nearly 40% of the patients. And that means that the drug in the current treatment armamentarium, from the point of view of efficacy, really gives a great contribution. There is a sustained response at week 52. More than 57% maintained PGA, more than 60% PASI 75, and more than 65% maintained the PASI 90. And that's important for psoriasis, not a quick fix. We should have a sustainable disease control. The quality of life improvement also are evident. The DLQI are smaller than 1, and nearly 30% of the patients on 5 mg, 44% on 10 mg, versus 5% on placebo, and the ICI score 43% for 5, 60 milligram for the 10 milligram the schedule, and 10% for the placebo. These are the efficacy results. And a little bit to continue on efficacy, again having as readout the PASI 75, and when we compare baseline PASI smaller than 20 or larger than 20, then what we see is that actually tofacitinib is effective in widespread and less widespread psoriasis. We see this as week 16 and also at week 52. Perhaps with the lowest dosage we see at week 16, but those patients with higher PASI at baseline have a higher efficacy, but that is quite usual. That is, statistically, the patient with the largest score at baseline have also the best opportunity to show a percentual improvement. But overall, we can conclude that widespread, less widespread psoriasis, tofacitinib works in the same way. Previous systemic therapy, and that is consistent with between 5, 10 milligram, and also the 16 and 52 weeks, what we see is that when no previous systemic therapies have been given, the efficacy is higher as compared to groups where previous systemic therapies have been given. And that has also, that what is important to realize is that when patients have been treated with systemic therapies a lot, then usually there is more time has it taken before that actually effective treatment is given. And the longer that you leave a psoriasis actually undertreated, the more difficult it is to improve psoriasis. The question of body weight, what we see with body weight is those patients less than 90 milligram and higher than 90 kilogram, we see an advantage actually of those patients which have lower body weights, but it is close. Also, patients which are overweight still have a substantial efficacy, but especially at the 52 weeks, we see a superiority. Actually, those patients who have not an overweight. And this remains important in the management of psoriasis, to take care of patients with overweight. Try to get them lose weight. Safety. Small dose-dependent decrease in hemoglobin, small mean decreases in neutrophil counts, stabilizing after month 4, and initial increases in lymphocyte counts followed by slight decreases. Lipid metabolism, there were increases in the total cholesterol in 9.9% of the patients, about 12% of the patients in LDL and HDL levels and in triglycerides. And the total impression is that HDL and LDL-HDL ratios were unaffected. Liver enzymes, small dose dependence, medium increases in ASAT and ALT. And there were no confirmed cases by the Hy's law or drug-induced liver toxicity. All laboratory changes were reversible upon withdrawal. So that gives us really the impression that safety in these trials were really great. So tofacitinib demonstrated significant efficacy across all clinical endpoints. The 10 milligram twice daily showed similar efficacy to etanercept twice weekly, greater efficacy than tofacitinib 5 milligram twice daily across all endpoints. The safety profile was generally comparable to the classical systemics. Exception is maybe a higher rate of herpes zoster, mostly was this non-serious. We should be aware of that. Advantages of oral administration, we should mention, more convenient for the patient, bypass injection, no infusion site or injection site reactions, and aligned with the patient preference for oral treatments. Laboratory changes with tofacitinib are all reversible, no indication for hepatic toxicity, bone marrow suppression, or renal toxicity. So in conclusion, tofacitinib demonstrated a benefit risk consistent with other systemic psoriasis treatment. There were significant improvements in clinical signs and symptoms of psoriasis, patient-reported outcomes, and in nail psoriasis. Acceptable safety profile with 5,000 patient years of exposure, and it offers an effective oral alternative for patients with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Addresses unmet need for convenient, effective treatment with acceptable safety, and the 10 milligram twice daily dose shows greater efficacy with manageable safety differences compared to the 5 milligram twice daily. So after this, I would like to go to the second podcast. And the second podcast is the effect of tofacitinib on hematological parameters during 12 weeks of psoriasis treatment. Just as an introduction, tofacitinib is an oral Janus kinase inhibitor, which is under investigation for the psoriasis treatment. In chronic plaque psoriasis, there is an overexpression of several cytokines: interferon gamma, interferon alpha, IL-17, IL-22, IL-23. The usual suspects are, of course, the IL-17, IL-22, and IL-23. But the interferon alpha, we know, is quite early involved in the pathogenesis of psoriasis, and especially in acute psoriasis and in exacerbating psoriasis. Interferon alpha is a dominating cytokine in the management of psoriasis. It is quite interesting here that tofacitinib really also affects this cytokine and therefore may really be of value, especially in the more unstable variants of psoriasis. The cytokine signals, they are through the Janus-dependent pathway, and we should realize that the Janus kinase signaling is integral to both the immune functions and the hematopoiesis. Tofacitinib inhibits preferentially YAK1, YAK3 over YAK2, TYK2. And the study evaluates hematological effects of tofacitinib in psoriasis patients. It was a randomized placebo-controlled phase 2b study. 197 patients with moderate to severe chronic plaque psoriasis were included. Treatment groups were placebo, tofacitinib, and the tofacitinib, the 2 milligram, the tofacitinib 5 milligram, tofacitinib 15 milligram twice daily, about 50 patients in each group. Treatment duration was 12 weeks with 4 weeks of follow-up. And the blood samples were collected actually at baseline and weeks 2, 4, 8, 12, 14, and 16. And parameters analyzed were complete blood counts, lymphocyte subpopulations at baseline, week 4 and week 12. First, something about the mechanism of action. Tofacitinib, I said already, inhibits YAK1, YAK2, and YAK3 more than TYK2. In the cellular settings, it inhibits preferentially signaling via the YAK1, YAK3. It blocks the common gamma chain cytokine receptors, IL-2, IL-4, IL-7, IL-9, IL-15, and IL-21. And so it's important that it acts in a different way mechanistically than the well-known anti-IL-17, anti-IL-23, and TNF-alpha treatments. It attenuates signaling by IL-6, interferon alpha, and interferon gamma through YAK1 inhibition, exhibit functional selectivity over YAK2 homodimers, and YAK2 mediates erythropoietin and GM-CSF signaling, and these are crucial for hematopoiesis. So, oops, sorry. Let's have a look at the results on red blood cells. Firstly, what's on the slide? Well, on slide A, we see the mean change from baseline in hemoglobin at the horizontal axis. On all these slides, we see the number of weeks, so 16 weeks. Then we have an explanation in the figure on the different dosages of the 2 milligram, the 5 milligram, the 50 milligram, and the placebo. And then on A we have hemoglobin, and B we have the hematocrit, and then we have the mean change from baseline in red blood cell counts, that's C, and the reticulocyte counts are in D. And what you see is, when you look at the tofacitinib 15 milligram, that in slide A, this tends to be lower, and not only tends, is significantly lower, so the hemoglobin. And here, also the change from baseline in the hematocrit looks that it is here at the lower end. And with respect to the change from baseline in red blood cell count, there's also a slight decrease. Sorry. And here, with respect to reticulocytes, we see that overall active treatments seem to have some decline. So let's now try to summarize what we actually see. Firstly, hemoglobin. That's picture A. No significant difference between placebo, tofacitinib 2 and 5 milligram. And the 50 milligram, that showed a significant reduction from week 4 onwards. No reports of hemoglobin lower than 10 gram per DL during the study. Hematocrit and red blood cell counts, similar pattern to hemoglobin changes, but significant reductions with 50 milligram twice daily from week 4 onward. And the reticulocytes, an initial decline in all tofacitinib groups, and significant decreases at week 2 with 5 and 15 milligram, but returned to baseline during treatment and increased above baseline levels. And then continued similar graphs. On A, now we have the white blood cell counts, and on B, the neutrophil counts. The basophils are in C, and D shows monocyte counts. And then we have in E, we have the eosinophils, and then we have the mean change from baseline lymphocyte counts in F. And let's have a look at this and try to study a little bit what you see. In the meantime, I will explain. The total white blood cell count was no dependent change. no dose-dependent change. With the neutrophil counter was a significant reduction with 50 milligram twice daily for the for the highest doses at week 4. And we see that in the graph indeed with the black line. But the return to baseline by the end of treatment, eosinophils, again, dose-dependent reductions, a return to baseline during follow-up, lymphocyte counts, that's F. In F, we see transient increases significant with 5 and 50 milligrams at week 2 and 4, but a return to baseline at week 12. Results in the subpopulations. The T cells, so the CD3 positive cells, the T cells, dose-dependent increases at week 4. That is placebo, only in 2%, 2 milligram dosage in 5%. 5 milligram caused an increase in 13% of the patients, and in 21% of the patients, we saw an increase on 15 milligram dosage. But there was a return to baseline by week 12. The B cells, dose-dependent increases at week 4 and remained elevated at week 12 with 15 milligram twice daily. Natural killer cells, we see dose-dependent decreases at week 4, and we see here the percentages, and the reduction maintained at week 12. Discussion. Hemoglobin effects, likely due to the inhibition of YAK2-dependent erythropoietin signaling. It occurs at higher tofacitinib concentrations and consistent with observed dose-dependent pattern. The neutrophil effects, unlikely related to gamma C, the GM-CSF, the IC50 was higher than achieved plasma levels. It may reflect a reduced inflammatory response in psoriasis, possibly due to inhibition of IL-6 signaling. The lymphocyte effects, NK cell reductions likely due to inhibition of IL-15 signaling. The eosinophil reduction possibly from inhibition of IL-9 signaling, and mechanisms for TMB cell increases require further investigations. So in conclusion, tofacitinib 2 till 15 milligram twice daily produced modest dose-dependent changes in hematological parameters. Changes during 12-week treatment were not clinically concerning. They were really reassuring, the results. There were only small changes in magnitude, and many changes were transient and reversible. No severe cytopenias reported. Mechanism likely involves partial inhibition of the YAK-dependent signaling of hematopoietic cytokines and pro-inflammatory cytokines. The long-term safety evaluation continues in phase 3 trials with 5 milligram, 10 milligram twice daily dosing. Findings support further investigation of the tofacitinib for psoriasis treatment. And then we move to the third podcast, which is on the efficacy and safety of tofacitinib in the treatment of psoriasis. And it is a phase 2b randomized placebo-controlled dose-ranging study. For your introduction, psoriasis is common. It's a debilitating immune-mediated genetic disease, which affects about 2.5% of Caucasians and 1.3% of African Americans in the United States. The condition significantly impairs quality of life and is associated with several comorbidities, including metabolic syndrome, cardiovascular disease, and psoriatic arthritis. And the current systemic treatments may be limited by administration routes, immunogenicity, and potential loss of efficacy over time. And tofacitinib is a novel oral Janus kinase inhibitor that preferentially inhibits YAK3, YAK1, and blocks signaling of multiple cytokines, integral to the lymphocyte function. Let's talk about the study design. It's a phase 2b study, a randomized, double-blind, parallel group, placebo-controlled, multicenter study. And the participants were adult patients with stable plaque psoriasis for more than 6 months, covering at least 50% of body surface area and having a PASI score of at least 13. The randomization was over four groups: oral tofacitinib 2 mg twice daily. The other group got oral tofacitinib 5 mg twice daily. The third group, oral tofacitinib 50 mg twice daily, and we have a placebo twice daily group. The duration of the study was 12 weeks treatment period with a 4-week follow-up. And the primary endpoint is the proportion of patients achieving PASI 75 after 12 weeks. That is the primary endpoint, so the PASI 75 at week 12. Let's have a look at the design in this figure. So patients are first screened, then they are randomized, and they are randomized between placebo twice daily, tofacitinib 2 mg, the tofacitinib 5 mg, and tofacitinib 15 mg. And they get these treatments for a period of 12 weeks, and that is end of treatment. Primary efficacy point was the PASI 75 at week 12, but we have also secondary endpoints, and that is firstly the proportion of patients achieving PASI 50 and PASI 90, changes in PASI score from baseline, and the proportion of patients achieving PGA score of clear or almost clear skin. Safety assessments done included incidence and severity of adverse events, laboratory values, and vital signs. And there was a statistical methodology, a modified intention to treat analysis using the last observation carried forward for missing data with non-responder imputation used for sensitive analysis. So for the long-term management, it was a very professional statistical analysis done. Results. The PASI 75 we see on the upper slide, the PASI 50 we see subsequently, then we see the PASI 90, and then we see the main change in the baseline PASI. What we see is that over 12 weeks there is a gradual increase, but we see already a statistically significant decrease here in at week four, and even here for the PASI 50 already after 2 weeks. So the treatment initiation is quite fast. And then we see a gradual increase in the improvement rates between the different active treatment groups. Placebo is nicely very low. And so very clearly we see good differences with placebo. And especially when we look at the PASI 90, we see here a percentage really approaching indeed 35-40% of the patients with the highest dosage realizing a PASI 90, which is in the area of efficacy of modern innovative treatments of psoriasis. So primary endpoint, PASI 75 at week 12, 2% reached this endpoint in the placebo group, 25, 40, and 66% of the patients realized this endpoint, the PASI 75, actually, which is a great result. PASI 50 response was, of course, realized in many more patients. But PASI 50 is really not an efficacy score which is high enough. That is from times that we had less effective treatments. Nowadays, we seldomly speak about the PASI 50 improvement, for that is not sufficient. So we speak mostly about PASI 90 or PASI 100 improvement. PGA response rate at week 12, 10% in the placebo group reached here PGA of clear or nearly clear skin, 24% in the 2 milligram, 40% in the 5 milligram, and 72% in the 15 milligram group, which is a substantial contribution. Let's have a look at the safety results. Again, these figures was on the horizontal bar, the time axis. We see hemoglobin, we see neutrophil counts, we see serum creatinine, total cholesterol, the LDL-C and the HDL-C of the lipid metabolism. And what we actually see is that actually the lines are quite close, together. And there are some changes. There are some changes in lipid pattern, and also with respect to hemoglobin and with neutrophil counts. Let's summarize this here. So there were treatment emerging adverse events reported at similar rates across the treatment groups, and most frequently reported were upper respiratory tract infection, nasopharyngitis, headache. And laboratory finds about mild dose-related decreases in hemoglobin. We have seen dose-related decreases in neutrophil counts, but returning towards a baseline value at week four, after 4 to 8 weeks, and dose-related increases in total cholesterol, HDL-C and LDL-C by week two, returning to baseline after discontinuation of treatment. And the mean LDC-HDL-C ratios decreased across all tofacitinib groups. Discussion. Tofacitinib demonstrated early and significant improvement in clinical signs of psoriasis with maintained efficacy over 12 weeks. The results confirmed the importance of JAK pathway signaling in psoriasis pathogenesis, and there was a clear dose-response relationship for both PASI and PGA outcomes. The dose-dependent effects of the C-reactive protein indicated reduction in systemic inflammation, and safety profile showed similar adverse event rates than to placebo with manageable laboratory changes. Study limitations include the relatively small size of the population and, of course, the relatively short treatment duration. So, in conclusion, tofacitinib treatment resulted in a dose-dependent improvement in clinical signs of psoriasis in patients with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, and early clinical improvements continued to increase throughout the 12-week treatment period. The oral administration route offers a potentially convenient alternative to the current injectable biologics and non-biologic systemics. Tofacitinib demonstrates potential as an important novel therapeutic option for moderate to severe chronic plaque psoriasis, and longer-term clinical trials are warranted to further evaluate efficacy and safety. Thank you for your attention.